You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, Dante. It's a really, really weird, but the din in my head, it's too much and it's not good. I'm standing in a window, so I'm shouting through the water, and I'd like to give you information. That's not good.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Good evening, everybody. This is Dave Hodges, and you're listening to another exciting edition of the Common Sense Show. And we're coming to you live on the Global Star Radio Network, and a lot of people around the net pick us up. We appreciate that. Could things be happening any faster? I mean, it just seems like everything is unraveling right now. We're in a race for martial law. Right now in Texas, they're practicing for civil war. We're going to get into that a little bit here with our first guest, I would imagine. And the economy is on the verge of collapse. Paul Martin and others in northern Colorado have confirmed FEMA's circulating beta test notices about banking holidays. Yes, you heard that correctly. Turkey and Saudi Arabia are attacking Syria, and we can only get our news from the Russians and other European outlets. Not a word of it here. The people at the Oregon standoff are being arrested, and now they're being held without bail, like they've committed some capital crime. It seems to me the FBI is the only one that committed a capital crime when they murdered Lavoie Finicum. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. We've got a lot to go through tonight, and we've got four guests tonight to go through. Katie's going to do a health interview, a very special interview. I'll let her tell you about that a little later. In our third hour, the bottom of the third hour, we've got Josh Coy on, and there's some strange happenings going on in northern Alabama, and Josh is going to weave his way through. And Josh, of course, is that really famous talk show host, good friend of ours, good friend of the show from Alabama. He's on WYDE AM in Alabama, and he's going to be telling us all about these events. We also are going to be interviewing Patrick Wood in the State of Technocracy Agenda 21 in hour number two. And coming up on where we are at now, we are going to be interviewing someone who I think is very interesting. He's also a friend of Bob Griswold, good friend of the show, and his name is John Shorey. And he's written two terrific books, and I've tried to weave my way through them this week, and I consider myself to be relatively literate, but these are interesting reads. You have to slow down and actually go through because there's so much to absorb. It's not written so much on a high level of vocabulary where you really have to have like a grade 20. You don't have to have that, no, but you really have to absorb the massive amount of material. And the documentation is good. He has two parts to these books. Unlocking the Mystery of the Book of Revelation, The Unveiling of What Was Sealed. And also part two is The Window of the Lord's Return, 2012 to 2020, The Unfolding of the End Times. And we're going to be talking about Revelations in relation to current events. So help me welcome to the Common Sense Show for the first time, Mr. John Shorey. John, thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you very much, Dave, for having me on.
It's a great honor to talk to you. As I go through these books, you are a scholar, my friend. I have to tip my hat to you, and someone who's done a fair amount of teaching at the college and university level. I always admire great literacy, and these books certainly fall into that category. What possessed you to start writing these books? Because I can tell they're a work of passion.
Well, you know, my wife and I, we had been in ministry for many years as children's pastors and children's evangelists. And after many years in this ministry, it seemed like our ministry was winding down, and we was on part-time staff at a church in Puyallup, Washington, and we had a visiting evangelist that came to the church, and working with kids, oftentimes we didn't get to sit in on a lot of the ministry. And at this particular time, I wanted to catch the tail end of a Sunday night of this man's message, so I snuck into the service, caught the last 10 minutes, And when he got done, he called people up for prayer, and he asked people to come up behind them and help pray. So I was one of the ones that went up behind, and the first thing he did after he, you know, called people for prayer is he walked forward to the group, and he looked at the backside, and he pointed me out, and he says, "I have a word from God for you." He says, "The Lord wants me to tell you that, number one," he says, "you're going to see financial blessing." And he says, "You're going to see the greatest years of your ministry ahead of you." He said some things that there was no way he could have known unless God spoke to him. So I really took note of what he said. And the next 2 years was the highest income my wife had seen in almost 30 years of marriage. And after 2 years of this, I went to the Lord in fasting and prayer. And I said, "Lord, I see financial blessing, but what am I supposed to do that'll lead me to the greatest years of my ministry?" And after praying for several days, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, "You're to do a study on the end times, self-publish it, and put it into the hands of Christians and Christian leaders." And I worked on this study for a year, and at the end of a year, I went back to the Lord in prayer. I figured I had about 80 or 90 pages to go into this book. I went back to the Lord in prayer, and I said, "Lord, will you help me to write that last 10 or 20 pages?" And it was really something. I mean, I should have been fasting and praying for the whole year. But when I asked God to help me finish it, the next 2 weeks, the Holy Spirit started opening up the book of Revelation. I started seeing things I'd never seen before. And it was almost like that was the beginning of the really awesome material that God gave me for this book.
You know, when it comes down to interpreting things like this, you know, sometimes I get the feeling I'm given insights from above, too, because I seem to sometimes almost know things I shouldn't, and I mean without the use of some of my insider sources, which are quite good. But I always have trouble distinguishing, is that me with my emotional and intellectual overlay, or is that truly from God? Do you have a process that you use to tell the difference between the two?
Well, you know, I have had times where thoughts come to me, and it's like I have to confirm it with the Word. Mm-hmm. You know, like, for instance, I was at a prayer breakfast, and I was talking to my pastor, and I was trying to explain to him that we're not going to go through the wrath of God, but we're going to go through some tribulation. We're going to go through some bad times. And I was trying to explain to him that the seals is not the wrath of God. And it's like he just wasn't getting it. So I'm driving home, and I'm having a conversation with God, and I said, "God, how do I explain to him and others that the seals is not the wrath of God? That if we go through the seals, we're not going through his wrath." And I just kept hammering, saying, "Lord, what's the difference between the seals and the wrath of God?" And it was like the Holy Spirit downloaded the answer to me. And the Holy Spirit said, "The difference is the delivery. The wrath of God is delivered by angels, and there's no angels in the seals." Well, this is something I mentally didn't know. Soon as I got home, I went into the Word of God, I read through all the seals, and there was not an angel in sight. And yet, the seven trumpets of God's wrath, delivered by an angel, every one of them. The seven bowls of God's wrath, delivered by an angel, every one of them. All of the judgment of God in Egypt, all of those judgments delivered by angels. It was throughout the Bible that God's judgment and wrath is delivered by angels. So this is an example of how God pointed me to the Word. I mean, I went to the Word to confirm what the Holy Spirit was telling me.
Okay, very good. And we had a discussion today about Syria and what's happening there. Of course, I wrote an article about it that appeared this morning, and I'm sure by now it's already outdated because the events are so fluid. But the events are not fluid in the Bible. And so let's go there. Let's talk about the fact that we've got Turkey, who seems to be acting on their own volition and attacking Syrian forces, and therefore going to bring Russia into it, possibly. Saudi Arabia standing right next to them, and they're not alone. Other powers in the region are threatening to join into the fight as well. What does the Bible have to say about what's going on inside Syria?
Well, you know, one of my chapters, I have a chapter called The Five End Time Wars. You know, and the last of these five wars is the Battle of Armageddon. And the first of these five wars is a war that has been referred to as the Psalms 83 war, that would involve the countries of the Middle East. It would obviously cover Syria, because the Psalms 83 war describes how Damascus, the capital of Syria, will be destroyed, never to be inhabited again. Now, myself and other scholars have actually, you know, figured that the destruction of Damascus would happen at the hands of Israel. Now, with everything coming together the way it's coming together, I almost question and wonder, is it possible that Israel's hands will be clean, and it might be another nation dropping a bomb, an atomic bomb, on Damascus? And let me tell you, the ramifications, you know, there is so much prophetic, and not just prophetic chatter, but there is literally chatter in the secular news day by day that something is about to erupt in the Middle East. And in my book, where I talk about the ramifications of this first of five end time wars, I mention how when nuclear bombs go off anywhere in the world, but we're looking at the Middle East, and by the way, the Middle East is referred to as God's time clock. When things are happening in the Middle East, it's like it's pointing to the time clock of God and His coming. But the point is when nuclear bombs go off in the Middle East, I believe it'll cause a global panic on Main Street, on Wall Street. Right now, the economies of the world are teetering on the edge. It wouldn't take much of a global panic and global fear to literally push the economies of the world over the edge. And literally could throw the world, just out of fear that World War III is about ready to start, could literally bring the economies of the world down. The currencies would come crashing down. And of course, this would play right into the hands of the globalists that are looking at reorganizing the world under a global governance. And I believe that this is where we're at right now.
That is interesting. You mentioned that there are... Well, let me hold that question until after the break, because we're coming up on a break in a few minutes, and that's a long question. So let's stay with Syria for a moment. Does the Bible give us any information on who the participants are in a manner that we could identify the nation states today?
Well, you know, I've done a lot of study on a lot of aspects of this, and what I can say is that the players for what I see as the Psalms 83 war is a different list of players as what will be involved in the last war, the Battle of Armageddon. And that's why we're able to make a distinction that the Bible is talking about more than one war here. And like I say, I see this as number one. Following this war, if I was to give a little rundown, some people are probably wondering, well, what are the five wars? Well, this war that I think we're on the verge of seeing is number one. Number two, when the seals start to open, which is unfolding into Daniel's 70th week, the second seal is war. And I see war breaking out all over the globe, and I call that the war of the second seals. And then the third war is, I don't have it right in front of me, but there's the sixth trumpet war, and the sixth trumpet war is 200 million boots on the ground, and it's literally, the Bible says that one-third of mankind will die in this sixth trumpet war. Now that's actually the fourth war. The third war is the Battle of Gog and Magog, and that's where Russia moves down to take control of the Middle East. I think initially, you know, Russia might, you know, make the Middle East countries think that, boy, you're doing us a favor. But I don't think Russia's going to be doing anybody a favor. When it's time to take the spoils, Russia wants to control the Middle East. And so the Gog-Magog war is going to happen, I believe, right in the middle of the 7 years, followed by the sixth trumpet war, which I believe will be China, and that'll literally take out one-third of mankind, And then, of course, the last war will be the Battle of Armageddon. And that will be, you know, one of the big players there will be the forces of the Antichrist trying to come down and take out the Middle East, take out Israel, basically, and control the Middle East.
When we say the Antichrist, do you have any leading candidates?
Well, you know, when I first came out the first edition of my book in 2010, I gave some hints, and in fact, I have written further and more hints into my book, clues to the coming Antichrist, and in fact, the biggest revelation as to where to look for the Antichrist came shortly after I went to the Lord in prayer, and I said, Lord, would you help me to finish my book? And that was really the beginning of probably two-thirds of my book. How are we doing for time? Can I go into this?
We're doing good. Now we're going to move everything to the bottom of the hour.
Okay. Well, so anyway, I had almost considered not even writing about the Antichrist because I figured I didn't have anything fresh to say. But when I went to the Lord in prayer, he started opening up the Word of God, and I started seeing things I had never seen before. And in Revelation chapter 13, it talks about the beast coming out of the sea. And the beast, it's actually talking about, you see, the sea kind of is symbolic of the nations of the world. And it says a beast coming out of the sea with 10 horns and 10 crowns. And this is a global beast government. The Bible says the Antichrist will rule over every people, language, and nation. So anyone that thinks that America's going to get out of it, forget it. We are a nation, and we will come under the thumb of the Antichrist. Well, in Revelation 13, where it says, the beast, this beast coming out of the sea with 10 crowns and 10 horns, the world will be divided into 10 regions of the world, and each region will have a leader, a head of state, a crown, a horn. Those are 10 regional leaders. Now, you know, the next verse says, one of the heads of the beast will be fatally wounded. Well, people have interpreted that the leader of this global government will be wounded in the head and come back from the dead. Well, that's not what it's saying at all. It's saying one of the heads of the beast is fatally wounded. What the Lord showed me was one of the heads is one of the heads of state. There's 10 of them. So the Antichrist is going to come out of one of the 10 regions of the world. Now, you know, the globalists have already divided the world up into 10 regions. And North American region is Mexico, Canada, and the U.S. And when the day comes that America is sold out to a global government, you know, the Lord spoke to me in 2010 that the president in 2010, current president, would lead America into the Great Tribulation. It would take a certain kind of man that would be willing to sell us out. Well, here's the interesting part. In order to qualify to be the Antichrist, when the global government is put into 10 regions, in order to qualify, you have to be one of the leaders of those 10 regions. Now, when I was republishing my book with a publisher in 2012, in November, it was like it was looking like our current president wasn't going to get revoted in. And if he didn't, it would shoot down what I felt the Lord was telling me. And so, because let me make this point. If you understand what I just said, that one of the 10 heads is going to be fatally wounded, not necessarily in the head. He could be wounded in the chest or other vital organs and come back from the dead. A great deception is set up because we've been so taught that he would be wounded in the head, that when this world leader is fatally wounded in other vital organs, people are going to say, hey, don't worry about him. He's not the Antichrist. He didn't get wounded in the head. Well, when this event happens, that one of the world leaders is fatally wounded, it's going to, we're going to know at that point who the Antichrist is. And basically, I felt that a lot of clues were pointing to the man in charge of North America. And my publisher told me, he says, you can't be making references about what's going to happen in the election, that this man's going to stay in office, because if it doesn't turn out that way, your book is going to be irrelevant. And when he said that, he said, let's talk this afternoon, because it's your book, but I don't want you to destroy your credibility. So he kind of shook me up, and I went to the Lord in prayer, and I said, Lord, I wish you would tell me what's going on. I really strongly have felt all along that I had a special calling and a special assignment on my life to study the end times, to put it into a book. So I went to the Lord and I said, Lord, I'd like to know what's going on. And I said, I wish somehow you could tell me. I said, I wish I could just open up the book and whatever I read, you would tell me what's going on. But I said, Lord, I'm not going to do that because this is too specific an answer to this question that I want. But I got done praying, and I went to my office, and I said, I need to read the Word. I did randomly open it up, but I wasn't fishing for an answer. I started reading Psalms, the book I had been reading for devotional from the day before. I started reading just where I picked up, and when I got into the second page, two verses jumped out at me, and it was like I took a double take, because I believe the Lord had directed my reading in answer to my prayer about what was getting ready to happen. And here's the verses in Psalms 18, 6 and 7. It reads, in my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. That was me praying 15 minutes before. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. The earth trembled and quaked, and the foundations of the mountains shook. They trembled because he was angry. You know, what I actually just did was I just read the Bible verse God gave me when I had a dream of the Northwest quake. But on this instance, I had said, Lord, I wish I could just open the book and you'd tell me what's going on. And it was Ezekiel 30. So excuse me, I'm going to read that. Because this was just randomly opening the book. And the first three verses, this is what it said. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, prophesy and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Wail and say, alas, for that day, for the day is near, the day of the Lord is near, a day of clouds, a time of doom for the nations. And when I read that 3 days before the election, I felt I had my answer, that the leadership that would sell out America to a global government was going to be reelected, and he was.
That's interesting, but he also had some help, because if we go back in time, the person who really launched the North American Union, as we refer to Mexico, United States, and Canada, is none other than George W. Bush. So are we sure we have the right target? Or how else could you be convinced that Obama is the Antichrist? And by the way, I don't need much convincing on this point.
I am not saying that he's the Antichrist, but when you read through the clues that I have in my book, it's kind of all pointing in that direction. And what I tell people is, I have constantly had people say, oh, I don't think it's him. But nobody's giving me a name. And the way I'm looking at it is I don't see anyone out there more qualified. I was actually on a television interview last year with, I won't mention his name, but he's a very popular interviewer. And behind the scenes, he says, do you have any thoughts on who the Antichrist is? And when I told him that all the clues are pointing in a certain direction, his response was, he's not smart enough to be the Antichrist. And my response to him was, when the day comes, now you know Revelation 12 talks about Satan being cast to the earth. And he says that Satan was angry because he knows his days are short. And just two paragraphs from there, Satan possesses a human body that just comes back from the dead, and he becomes the Antichrist. So I told this interviewer, I says, when the day comes that Satan possesses a world leader that is fatally wounded and he comes back from the dead, we are not going to be dealing with the intelligence of a human. We're going to be dealing with the intelligence of Satan himself.
Do you think Satan will take over the body and spirit and soul of the person, or is he already there?
Well, you know, I believe that the person that will ultimately become the Antichrist, before that day happens, he will show that he has the spirit of Antichrist. You know, I've been told that there are certain world leaders that are friendly to Israel, and that they will become the Antichrist. I don't believe that a good person is going to die by a fatal wound and is going to be able to be basically not demon, but Satan possessed. I believe that whoever is chosen to be the Antichrist is going to have to exhibit those qualities of the Antichrist before it happens.
Interesting. Well, you may not have a name, because I'm not so sure that the person that we're hinting at has a name. I mean, do we call him Barry, or do we call him Barack, or Lord knows what we could call him? So,
well,
he may be unidentified.
If you read in my chapter on the coming Antichrist, I talk about these clues. The Bible says that he's going to be a person of intrigue and mystery. There are going to be things about the man who becomes the Antichrist that are a mystery that people don't know. And let me tell you, certainly the man we're talking about is a man of intrigue and mystery, and he's also a master of deceit. That's what Daniel says, a master of deceit, which means he's a very good liar. And as far as the mystery is concerned, do you realize that the Bible says that the name of this person, the number 666, will be the number of his name? Well, you know, in order to be able to play that number name game, you literally would have to have the original birth certificate to know the name that the person was born under. And there's, you know, certain leaders that we're aware of that we cannot seem to come up with that original birth certificate.
You know, Ted Cruz might fall into that category too. There's, I mean,
yeah,
you know,
well, like I say, you know,
I don't think that's too scandalous
to say that. Time will tell. But you know what's interesting? Some people that I am aware, that I know personally, who minister in the prophetic, a number of people have been hearing from God that the election will be canceled this year, and that the man in office will stay in office, and it'll be a period of martial law, and the elections will not be able to take place. Let me tell you, if that happens, America's toast.
Well, America's toast for a lot of reasons. I would refer people, you know what, we're going to hold that right there, because we're going to go into break, and we'll pick it up with UX 16, try to tie that into biblical prophecy. Stay tuned.
All right, for this week's Ranger Gear Review, did you know that hackers and government agencies can scan your RFID personal identity details through the air invisibly using an RFID scanner that reads the chips that are increasingly on driver's licenses, passports, and credit cards? Merely by walking near an RFID scanner, which may be hidden, by the way, you can have your personal identity details stolen without your knowledge or consent. My name is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and I launched Ranger Gear to be able to offer solutions for problems just like this. We came up with RFID blocking sleeves that interfere with RFID scanning attempts and block them so that no one can steal information off your credit cards, driver's licenses, or passports. You just slip any credit card or passport into one of these sleeves, and it immediately blocks the RFID scanning. It can't get through it. It's like a bulletproof vest against RFID signals. These RFID blocking sleeves are infinitely reusable, they're durable, they're portable, lightweight, almost weigh nothing, and you have to use them now when you travel to protect your identity and your personal security as well. We've got them on sale now, a pack of 10 credit card sleeves and 2 passport protectors. All of them block RFID 100%. They're available now 10% off by using discount code DAVE at rangergear.com. Again, just use coupon code DAVE at rangergear.com and you'll save 10% off this RFID blocking sleeve pack, which contains 10 credit card sleeves and 2 passport protectors. I really can't emphasize this enough. Anywhere that you travel right now, if you have these RFID chips embedded in your cards or passports, you are being scanned and tracked without your knowledge. But you can block that using these RFID blocking sleeves right now. Rangergear.com, use discount code DAVE to save 10% today.
Yeah, and Mike is right on the money with that too, because we are all at risk. I've told stories here on the air about people who have been filling up with gas and have had their password stolen from their debit card, their credit cards. Don't let that happen to you. Use my name, Dave, on the coupon code rangergear.com. Also want to tell you about a product. And the catch line for the product is, if you can't touch it, then you don't own it. And what am I referring to? I'm referring to Steve Quayle at Renaissance Precious Metals. You know, you heard me mention at the top of the show, Paul Martin and I have had extensive discussions. KCOL 600 AM in Loveland ran a FEMA, watch out for the banking holiday that's coming. Here's what you got to do. There are documents circulating in other parts of northern Colorado. Paul's working on getting more information. They're beta testing, folks. Don't know why they chose that region of the country, but they are clearly beta testing. Your money is soon going to be locked up tighter than a drum, and you know the law. When you deposited your money, it's no longer yours. The feds took care of that in 2012. In 2014, they determined that everyone who's owed credit swap derivatives money goes to the front of the line, you go to the back of the line, and the FDIC insures 1.2% of all assets. What does that mean for you? You better buy some gold and silver, and you better do it quickly. Call Steve Quayle tomorrow at 406-586-4842. Again, that's 406-586-4842. And by the way, my wife and I had the discussion last night after watching the movie The Big Short. We're going to make another purchase. So get in line with me. Take care of your earnings. Do it now, folks. Call Steve in the morning. Also want to talk to you about my good friend Bob Griswold at ReadyMadeResources.com. You know, and Bob likes to tell you, and we don't have to tell you that things are bad. Just look around. In fact, Steve Quayle likes to say, the things we used to write about are no longer coming. They're here. They're here right now. So you need to get ready. And who has the best survival supplies of anybody that I know out there? Well, there's a lot of guys who are really good. But Bob Griswold is special. Whether it's his PVS 14 third generation auto-gated night vision, whether it's his solar generators, his Berkey water filters, his 1 week money back guarantee. If you don't like it, you don't buy it. He's an honest man. He's a man of God. And he has great quality products. In fact, he's going to be on the show next week to talk to us more about what we need to be doing to get ready. Call him tomorrow, folks. His number is 800-627-3809. Again, it's 800-627-3809. And if you want to sound intelligent, go up to his website tonight after the show, readymaderesources.com. And take a good look around, because there's something there for everybody. And in fact, both Steve and Bob are low pressure. They will tell you what they think you need, and they'll work with any budget. Anyway, our special guest is John Shorey, and is the author of 2 terrific books. And before we go further, I'm going to let John tell you how you can get a copy of these books. And I'll tell you, it's a good read, folks. If you are in fear of God and you're in fear of the times that we live in, these are 2 books I highly recommend. John, welcome back, and I want to let you talk about these books for a moment, talk about your website, and tell people how they can get a copy of your books.
Thank you, Dave. Tonight we're talking about my most important book. It's my larger book. It's called Part 2, The Window of the Lord's Return, 2012 to 2020, We're in the middle of that window. And I started writing this book actually in 2007, first published it in 2010, and so many things have been happening in this window of time that we're in right now. And I'd like to go ahead and just give a couple of chapter titles so people can have a little sense of what's in this book. This is only 6 out of 20 chapters, but one of them is A Needed Second Look at the Rapture. Another one is How Does the United States Fit into the Prophetic Picture? The chapter we've been talking about tonight, The Coming Antichrist. Chapter 14 is The Window of the Lord's Return. Chapter 16, God's Warning of Coming Judgment. The next chapter says there will be signs in the sun, moon, and the stars. And I could mention a few more hot button chapters, but these books are available either on Amazon. You can just put my name in, John Shorey, or the title of the book, The Window of the Lord's Return. Or you can go to my website, which is tribulationtruth.com. Tribulationtruth.com. And both of my books are available in both areas. I have other teaching materials on my personal website. So thank you for letting me remind the people where they can get these books.
Well, it's my pleasure, because I think if anyone has any doubt that the strong possibility exists that we are in the last days, reading these books will certainly reinforce that belief. And, you know, and John, I can't say for certain, because God doesn't tell us the hour or the day of his return, but it's pretty compelling. That's how I'll leave this. Well, we're Americans mostly listening to this show tonight, although we do have an international audience, a lot of people from Canada, South Africa, New Zealand, Australia, a lot of the English-speaking nations. We have friends down in Panama and South America and Ecuador. But largely, about 95% of our audience is American. So let's talk about Americans through these five wars that you referenced in the first segment. Because I want to know where America stands, where it's headed, what we can expect.
Well, okay, let me start by mentioning that what I see as the first war, the war that literally I think could happen in the next weeks to the next couple of months, could literally reshape the globe. When nuclear bombs start going off anywhere in the world, it will affect America. Right now, I mean, in 2008, when we saw, you know, the crash that brought us into the Great Recession, this happened at a time where our economy was in pretty good shape. Right now, it's like a cracked egg. We're literally teetering on the edge of a cliff. And for the same kind of things that threw us into a recession in 2008, it could literally be catastrophic today. And when a war breaks out, that gives people the mindset that World War III has just begun, you are going to see panic like you couldn't believe. You're going to see panic buying of food. You'll see panic buying of precious metals. You will see, you know what I mean, the dollar crash. You will see over 50 million people that will no longer be getting food stamps rioting in the streets. You'll see anarchy. You'll see martial law. I mean, these are just the beginnings of what we will see here in America. So that would be how I would see the first of the five end time wars affecting America. Now, the second, now by the way, that war will bring America to its knees. And I actually believe it will ultimately set the stage for the other global superpowers, China and Russia, to be able to have boldness to do what they want to conquer lands that they want to conquer, without any fear of repercussions from America. I mean, we will be on the verge of being totally taken out. And the second end time wars are the wars that I call the wars of the
Before we leave the first, John, let me interrupt you. I'm sorry to cut you off, but I don't want to leave that first war too soon. Right now, this looks like it's a regional war that's brewing. Is it your contention that we're going to be drawn into it and this war will be brought to our shores as well, and this is where the devastation will take place?
The big devastation in America I see in the second war, which, you know what I mean, I'll kind of go into in a moment. But this war in the Middle East, because of the fact that, number one, two superpowers are supplying arms to both sides. You know what I mean? If you was to imagine that this war in Syria would somehow bleed into Israel, America is supplying arms to Israel, Russia is supplying arms to some of the other players, obviously Iran, and I see that while America is still a superpower, that Russia and America will almost be like referees on the sidelines, except that Russia is kind of weaseling their way in, and they're getting very bold, and America has been letting them almost take over the Middle East. So what I'm saying, you know what I mean, is true to a point, but not entirely. Okay? So when I see America taken out, that's what's going to set the stage for the Gog and Magog war, because when America is taken out, Russia is going to be fully emboldened to have any part that it wants to play in taking over the Middle East. So I see the Gog-Magog war is war number three. War number two is the wars of the second seals, where it says that there will be war, that there will be, you know what I mean, man will be killing man, and it says it will literally affect one quarter of the earth. And I believe that part of that one quarter of the earth, that's the second seal wars, will be the invasion of America. I think events are going to happen to economically take us to our knees. Countries will be emboldened to take us out by EMP. And that event alone could literally wipe out 90% of the population in America. And when America is softened, our enemies will be emboldened again to take over the territory that we call America.
This is indeed frightening, because there is so much current events going on right now that really lends credibility to your interpretation of Scripture. It's mind-boggling. Let me just go to a couple of documents. There's a document out there called Deagle, DEAGEL.com. It's a CIA think tank in disguise, but there's no question it's CIA because of who their partners are and so forth. You can read it for 5 minutes and ascertain it's the CIA. They talk about America's strength today, and by the year 2025, they project us to have a decline in economic spending, per capita income per individual, and military spending. That decline is supposed to be somewhere between about 85 to 90% less. And this would be a direct result of what John is talking about right here. Because we clearly are going to be invaded, and we're clearly going to be a far lesser power than we once were. And then we've got, John, we talked about this this morning on the phone. Alaska has been left defenseless by Obama, and I won't go on all the reasons at this moment, but we have been set up by Obama, and if he indeed is the Antichrist, it makes perfect sense. The gateway to North America and the United States is through Alaska, because there's literally nothing there to stop him thanks to this treasonous president. John, let me throw it back to you for your reaction.
Well, you know, there have been multiple prophetic voices going all the way back to George Washington that America would be invaded. And some incredibly reliable men of God have been given visions, like Kenneth Hagin. He saw an invasion on the West Coast and saw the cities literally burned out, and that the women and children were literally on their feet walking out of these cities en masse. And the reason they only showed the women and children is because all of the males will be conscripted to try to defend against an invading force. And one recent prophecy that I heard is that an invasion of America would come out of the north. And like you say, we're becoming defenseless in the north arena. And like I say, I believe that America will be brought to its knees, and that we will be softened, and this will literally pave the way for this invasion.
You are so right on the money, my friend. It's not just Alaska. It's also the North Pole. Everyone thinks Russia's there for the minerals. They are, in part. but they could attack anywhere in the Northern Hemisphere from the North Pole. Sweden was so concerned about it, they brought in U.S. Special Forces, and the only reason we found out about it is because there was a plane crash in Sweden and the media got a hold of it. So we are concerned about this, and that means the Russians could sweep down through Canada unopposed, folks. Unopposed until they get to the lower regions of Canada. So, John, we're in complete harmony on this point. Obama has left us totally defenseless, and he's doing nothing to shore up our defenses against Russia.
Well, you know, Russia has been developing weapons. In fact, they've been developing weapons that we don't even know about. But the ones that we do know about, they have developed the S-300 missiles, the S-400 missiles. They have been developing missiles for taking out the American fleet that literally, you know, you might be able to take out some of these missiles when they're zeroing in on you, but these missiles zigzag and they go so subsonic, so fast that they're going to literally, you know, in just in a matter of hours, our fleet could totally be at the bottom of the sea.
Wow, this is interesting. You know, John, we talked about this briefly today. I've written articles that have detailed that we've been involved now in almost a six-year war game, and the environmentalists have gone crazy. In fact, so has the congressional delegation of Oregon, Washington, and California, where people like Barbara Boxer has implored the Secretary of the Navy to put some of these ships back in the ports and stop doing sonar, radar, fake firings, fake battles, because they're killing sea life. They don't seem to be concerned about Fukushima, but they're concerned about our Navy. I've had an operating hypothesis now for several years that says they're out to sea because they don't want to be attacked in a fixed emplacement like the ships were at Pearl Harbor, and they want the freedom to roam and try to escape. And I think you've just added one more piece to the puzzle as to why our Navy commanders are operating this way. And by the way, for those who have not heard us talk about this on this show, we have covered on this show explicitly, particularly the submarine corps, but across the Navy, it is the most defiant branch of the military that's opposed to Obama. And it wouldn't take much, if they had thought they had the support of the people, to act against this president. John?
Yeah, I totally agree, you know, that that some things are going to happen that are going to be kind of like throwing the monkey wrenches into the global plans. But the bottom line is, America is still going to be taken out. Mm-hmm. America is still going to be invaded. It's going to get messy on our shores. I mean, you know, I teach prepping, and I recently wrote an article that said 10 or 12 reasons why we need to prepare in the coming months, whether or not the Lord is coming back in the next few years. Things are going to be happening on our soil and in America that are so catastrophic that we must be prepared for what's coming.
That almost leaves me speechless because, again, as Steve Quayle says, these things are no longer coming. That possibility is right here and right now. What, besides spiritual awareness, spiritual fulfillment, and a commitment to the Word of Christ and living that lifestyle, after we get beyond our spiritual needs, what do you advise people they should be doing? Low-budget people, first-time preppers, what do you tell them?
Well, you know, I teach this all the time, and there's many aspects. You know, like one is location. You know, you don't want to be near the coasts. You don't want to be near the cities. You know, so that adage in real estate, location, 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 is very important. Number two is you can't make it on your own. You know, we need to pool our resources and develop groups. I call it the underground churches of the end times. You know, in the early church, they pooled their resources and they went underground and they helped each other. And that's what we're going to have to do. And of course, food, water is important. And when I talk about food, I talk about the power foods. You know, some of the cheapest foods will feed you, you know, the cheapest possible. You know, like rice is one of the power foods. Beans is another power food. Wheat berries is another power food. Oatmeal. I mean, you can go and buy buckets of oatmeal so affordably, it's unbelievable. And then once you've got the power foods, you know, then you get the condiments that go with them. You know, you can go and take brown sugar and cinnamon and end up making oatmeal into a delicious breakfast. And you can go ahead and take, you know, rice, and you can use it for breakfast with cinnamon and sugar. You can use it for your lunch. You can take soups and multiply the number of people you can feed with soups if you've got these extra cartons of bouillon and vegetables out of your garden, and you throw them into your soup, and you can go have a soup that would feed 10 people feeding 40 or 50 people. You know, so there's a lot that could be said here, but we need to do something. And I tell people, you know, at least start getting some rice. You know, you can get bags of rice, 25 pounds for $7. That's $20-something dollars for 100 pounds. And rice can go a long ways. If you was in a prison camp under the control of the Japanese in the Second World War, all you had to eat was a cup of rice. They'd throw it in your cell on the floor. And it wasn't much to eat, but it kept them alive.
How much? Let me ask this question a different way. How much food should people store? Looking at a calendar length, I mean, should people have 3 months, 6 months, a year, 2 years? What do you think?
Well, you know, if it wasn't for the Mormons, we wouldn't have the industry that is supplying us with some of the best long-term food that we could be getting. And they have taught for decades that you should have a year of food for your family, so that in any kind of hard times, it would either be to the nation or to your own personal family, you'd be able to feed your loved ones for a year. Personally, I think that is just the foundation that you need to add and build on, because another thing is, how many people are you going to need to feed? You know what I mean? When your brothers and your in-laws, as they show up at your door, are you going to refuse them and say, I'm sorry, I can't help you? So basically, you know, if we want to have the compassion of Christ, we need to help those that come our way. You know, and some people are very kind of hard-nosed about this, but you see, I know there's a day of reckoning that we're going to have to give an account of how we treat other people. So therefore, I believe that we can't be too prepared. We can't have too much, because the amount of preparations we have will be the yardstick of how many people we can help during hard times that are ahead.
That's very well said. And I want to encourage people to pick up a copy of John's two books. His most recent is Part 2, The Window of the Lord's Return, The Unfolding Signs of the End Times. Again, John, tell everyone that now that they have pencil in hand, how they can get a copy of this book.
Okay, you can actually get my books and teaching DVDs on my website, tribulationtruth.com. Okay, actually the pricing is better, but at the same time, if you have an Amazon account or that's where you like to buy your books, all you have to do is go to Amazon.com, put in my name, John Shorey, or put in the title of the book, The Window of the Lord's Return. Make sure that you get Part 2. Part 2 contains Part 1 and 2. And let me tell you, you will have your eyes open. The chapters that are in this book are just incredible revelation.
Well, this it's good stuff. If you were to just speak to my listening audience, because we're gaining new listeners all the time, and some of them are at various levels of understanding and insight as to what we're facing, and you told them, okay, these are the things that you should be doing in the next 30 days, because we don't know you're going to have any longer than that, what would you tell them to do? 30 days.
Well, you know, for those who are just getting started, it's, you know, we really could only have 30 to 60 days. When an event along the scope of the Psalms 83 war starts, if that was to happen in 2 weeks, time's up. Literally, you'd see panic buying in the stores and your time would be over. So what I would say is, like I said a moment ago, get some of the power food products. hundreds of pounds of rice and hundreds of pounds of beans and oatmeal if you can, and then the condiments that would go with that. You know, there are so many things you can do with rice. You can get spaghetti sauce, you can get yoshida sauce, you can go and get soy sauce, you can get, you know, just different soups and multiply that rice into a lot of food to help feed a lot of people. So that's where I would get started. And then, of course, shelter, food, and water, all very important. If I was to say that you need to get out of debt, a lot of people are not going to be able to, but maybe you can go and pay some of your bills in advance. I'll tell you, I have canceled insurance policies and anything of value that I possibly could part with, I have sold and turned into the things that I'm going to need in the future. And let me tell you, when everything comes down, you know, that motorcycle in your garage, it probably won't even be safe for you to go out on your bike. And yet that bike isn't, you're not going to be able to eat it. You know, and I'll tell you this, you know, I am a strong proponent of precious metals. But the day will come when everything is shut down, the system, the global system, will eliminate precious metals. So when precious metals start to go out of control upward, you know, then that would be a good time to get out while everybody else is getting in, pay off your mortgage, pay off your bills. But just remember this, during real hard times, food will be gold. There will be nothing more valuable than food, and people who have food will not want your gold. So John, I see prepping with food as more important, number one, than anything.
Last question, brief question here as we're running out of time for this segment. Do you advocate that people have firearms for self-protection?
Well, you know, I was just teaching a conference last week, and I said there's three precious metals, gold, silver, and lead. And okay. The day will come when the value of gold will go down, but the value of lead, and if you know what I'm talking about, our Second Amendment rights and that kind of lead, will be worth more than gold. As a Christian, the Bible says, thou shalt not kill. But it also says that if you don't defend your family, you're worse than an infidel. You know, and in the end days, this is not going to be pretty. In fact, the Bible says that the church will go through 42 months of war on the saints, and this will be war. And the Bible teaches that in times of war, we can defend ourselves.
Okay, and the website is tribulationtruth.com, and your latest book is part two, The Window of the Lord's Return, The Unfolding Signs of the End Times. John, I feel like that we blinked and this hour was over. Thanks so much for joining us. And we look forward to having you back again as events unfold, and we'd like you to come interpret them. We hope that you'll come back and join us.
It'd be a pleasure to come back.
Thanks so much, John. In hour number two, we'll be joined by my old friend, Patrick Wood. And thanks, by the way, to Bob Griswold, because he introduced me to John Shorey. And what a terrific interview that was, and I highly recommend his books. We'll see you in hour number two. Stay tuned.